The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is May 3rd, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's www.grasslandbeef.com. That's a good friend of the show, good friend of mine, John Wood. Go to his website. Very easy to navigate through. I know a lot of people listening to the show are buying now meat from him. His stuff is the best, and if you should get lucky enough to speak with John, tell him we sent him, obviously, and we sent you to him. And we're hoping, John's a very busy guy, but we'd like to get him back on the show. His service is second to none, and I guarantee you'll be more than happy. Secondly, we're going to talk about my chiropractor. This is only in New York State, Saugerties Chiropractic Center. Right now, they're in the process of rebuilding their website. So to get a hold of them, it's 845-246-5020. Mark Colligan is the chiropractor. He does ART. He's got the drop table. He does soft tissue work. He does trigger points. I had 15 trigger points the other day he had to work on. Obviously, I had the deep tissue laser done, and I love when I get the pulse electromagnetic frequencies done. He puts that those big rubber things on wherever your injury is, and that thing just sits there and goes tick, tick, tick till it, you know, runs out, start it again. Also, too, obviously, he's great with sports injuries, and he loves to talk about potential, man. And my guest today, Eric Gutman, and I are going to get into that quite a bit with this show. And Mark's the same way. And we're just waiting for his Wi-Fi to get straightened out. Mark's going to be coming on once a month with us, and wait to hear this guy. Great guy to talk to, loaded with information, and I think the audience here is going to love it, man, when you talk to him. Thirdly, we've got our good friend, and he's on every month, and I think we're going to have him on even maybe a little more. I got to talk to him this week. That's Dr. William Wong. He's got some great supplements out, Dr. Wong's Essentials, and you can go to www.docsprefer.com. We did an outstanding podcast on Friday. Anybody that's had the dings like Eric and myself and everybody out there, well, he's got me on a special regimen, of supplements. Also, I will lay this out. He is sponsoring me for Iceland. You want to learn about ligament, tendon, fascia, bone. I mean, we went right through it. And testosterone, once again, because you need some high amounts of testosterone in your system when you have injury. So I will be putting that up next week. It's going to be something. Look out for that. Next, we got Roger LaPointe, who started with me right from the beginning with podcasts. www.atomicathletic.com. He is the president of there. I've known him since his days with York. And he's running that super safety bar. I got one here last weekend, and the thing's phenomenal. If you got any kind of shoulder problems or you just want to keep your shoulders intact, you got to get this thing. It was $299. It's $225 right now plus shipping, and I believe the shipping was only $14. The box came from FedEx. All you have to do, you have to unloosen the four bolts total and turn the loading pins back out. They turn them in, because this way they can ship it cheaper. They have everything locks. It will not come loose on you once you put it on. It's phenomenal. All I can say, it's a great bar, and I would go out and check it out. And I do believe he's only going to run it for two more weeks. And then we got another big one. We've got MuscleMass.com. That's our friend John Drake. Right now, his flagship product, it's called Adaptogen N. He's had this out, I believe, for almost 25 years. Right now, if you go to the discount code and type in Motivation, you get a 21% discount off it. If you buy three bottles, you get one free. Same thing. So go out to the discount code on MuscleMass.com, type in Motivation, and you're going to get something that's going to improve your health, vitality, and performance. As John says, you'll have great performance in and out of the gym. So take a look at that and try it out. Well, today we haven't had Eric Gutman on in a while. He's been a little bit busy with his job, and we're glad to have him back. I'm going to let Eric just give a short bio of what he does. I mean, obviously, he serves our country, and we couldn't thank him enough. And he's just an all-around guy that really gives a shit about stuff. And we're going to come on early. We were on talking to each other for about 45 minutes just to catch up. But, Eric, welcome to Motivation and Muscle. You know, we're glad to have you back because you're like a stalwart of the show now, too. And, you know, people love to listen to our podcast. So why don't you give everybody a little bit, you know, catch up if you'd like, and, you know, anything that's going on down the road, and we'll start right into the show.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. If this is the first time you're listening to this, then, you know, my name's Eric Gutman. I am an active duty naval officer. As my friend Eric mentioned, you know, I've been the last couple of months, I've been in Honduras coordinating a visit of a hospital ship that's going to provide humanitarian assistance to the people of Honduras and also the whole Caribbean. However, when I'm not coordinating that, what I love to do is train and research on health and strength. You know, my goal being to live as long as I can, as best as I can. And one of my favorite ways to do that for the last 3 months has been using 533. So if you want to, we can give a little 533 update and let people know what that's about.
That's great. Eric, give your website, though, out and stuff, too, because, you know, people, if they're not familiar with you, you've written not only books, you know, authored things, but you've written quite a few articles and stuff. So why don't you give that out in case they're not familiar with what you've got, sir?
Oh, absolutely. If you're interested in my articles or some of my products, the website is www.ericgutman.com. That's ericgutmann.com. And some of the articles that people have really resonated with have been the ones on boosting and optimizing hormones, specifically testosterone and growth hormone via, you know, both exercise, diet, supplements, and lifestyle. There's also one that people have liked a lot, which is called the heavy metal strength meditation. Has to do with tying in your breathing to tire flipping. And there's plenty of more interesting stuff. If you'd like a physical product or a digital product, you know, I've written a couple of books and some fitness courses called Extreme Military Fitness, both a basic for anyone and then the elite for people who are at medium to high levels of training. And, you know, my favorite ones are the regenerative type stuff like joint mobility and something called the vestibular reset. And that's about it.
Cool. Yeah, we're gonna talk about a couple real interesting subjects today. We're gonna go over an update, and we're gonna lay the fabric down again about 533, and Eric's gonna update us. And you know, if you've seen some of the video we've put out, I mean, he's had phenomenal results. And you know, Eric isn't a 20-year-old lifter. Eric's been doing this for a long time. He's had some bings and bangs like myself. He's gone in and done the program and made miraculous gains in strength and body weight, which is, you know, it's huge for a lifter that, you know, you would say that, you know, as you get bigger and stronger, a lot of times it's harder to keep climbing, and you get set in different ways. So that kind of rocked the way he was doing things. And then secondly, and we'll probably get into this in between everything because it's so pertinent to what we're talking about, we're going to do a subject called Your Word is Your Bond. I've talked about this a little bit when I've done podcasts on my own. The feedback was phenomenal for it. And I personally, Eric and I are very big on this stuff. And we feel, and I feel especially, that this is just not said enough. There's just too much stuff out there that's like, you know, if it works, fine. If it don't, or you can't do it, and we just are not proponents of this at all. So, Eric, let's just lay out 533 now. Initially, when I approached you with this, you know, we talked about there's three exercises at the time, and we were going to use the squat, the deadlift, and the overhead press. Now, for anybody that's not familiar with any of this stuff, we are doing it in a power rack. The rods are set at all different locations, obviously, to do these things. And let's get into it. Obviously, the deadlift you're pulling off the floor, but Eric has pulled it out of the rack too, and that's one of the things we want to talk about. But these are all dead stop movements, and by this I mean you don't take it out of like the saddles and you have a rebound and come up. You are starting your body at the lowest position of these exercises. Obviously, you can do three different levels of it, and you can train at all different levels and make phenomenal gains. So when I approached Eric with that, of course, he was gung-ho to get right on it, and we've had great things. And we're going to let him explain it and what happened with all that. But the thing that I like about this, and we are going to put a program out. It will be this year, but right now my company is in a lot of flux. We're making a lot of changes and big good stuff, and this is going to be the next project we're going to get into. But I feel this dead stop training, if you're familiar, like Bud Jeffries, myself, Eric is doing it. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there probably doing it. We don't hear a lot about it because, to be honest with you, this is balls to the wall, and this stuff will feel like it's going to split you in half. But when done correctly and done smartly, I don't believe, other than maybe lifting huge stones, I don't know, man. There's not much out there that's going to match up with this stuff. But the problem is it's very, very hard on the musculature and the mind. But Eric, now I'll bring Eric in. Eric will tell you, obviously, what he went through with this, what changes he had to make, and where he is today. So, Eric, why don't you just kind of catch everybody up right from the get-go when we started, if you don't mind.
So, absolutely. So, right from the get-go when we started, you know, it was fun. It was new. I was amazed at what I logged. 5-3-3. That's 11 reps for your upper body, 11 reps for your lower body. And like you said, in the beginning, it was easy to pile on 5 pounds every other week, right? I mean, sorry, every week. But once you pass about a month and you really reach your real working weight, I tell people, if you're not seeing stars, then you're not doing it correctly. If you're not doing one of those reps that kind of like scares you a little bit and you see like the yellow dots, then you were probably not really doing 5-3-3. You're just doing light dead stop training, because 5-3-3, to do it correctly, like you said, it requires you to use an approximation of your 90%, 80%, and 70% weight. And those numbers are going to change because you may get that number, but when you try to do it, you may not be actually able to do it. So when I started to do it, I remember I had my numbers for the overhead press, and there's no way I could do 90, 80, and 70. I had to start much lower than that, but I quickly caught up in about a month, right? And then it was like some scary lifting. Now, what was the results? In about, I think, in less than, I'm going to say in 8 weeks, I packed on 5 pounds of muscle. And what was previously my one rep max was now my working weight. But here's the other interesting thing that happened. So after about, I'm going to say 12 weeks, I don't know if it was all the changes in my life or something, then I started to feel a little pain in the shoulder. And I remember we talked, and what I did was I switched the overhead press for the floor press in the rack. So I'm in Honduras, and, you know, in one place where I work, there is a rack, but they don't have, like, the five-pound increment. So they've got, like, I could do 315, 215, or 135. They've got, like, 445-pound plates and – 235-pound plates and 125-pound plate. Like, how messed up is that, right? So I can't do that very smooth progression I was doing before. Now I'm at the embassy where I can go sometimes. They have a more elaborate gym. And here's what's awesome about it. So because I had a little bit of a shoulder tweak, I started doing the floor press. And, again, in a very short workout, I felt my whole chest being activated. And, again, in the upper position, which is only like a quarter part of the lift, I was able to hoist 495 pounds, which, again, it's not bench pressing 495 pounds from the chest. But, again, when you are holding at the top, and I always like to hold it from anywhere from 2 to 5 seconds, your body is isometrically holding up 495 pounds. So when you go that, you know, top, middle, bottom position and you're using – and, again, I don't know what the weight is. So I just keep going up to the highest I can, and then I stop. When I start feeling a little pain, I stop. So I have my I have my training journal here, and I can tell you what I did. So I did 495 pounds at the top position for 5 reps. Mm-hmm. And then I did – in the mid position, just to be safe, I did 225 pounds. And then I went up to 315 pounds. And then I went up to 375 pounds. And then at 375, I stopped. And then in the bottom, I did 275 pounds.
That's awesome.
Again, and just I didn't do like originally where I just warm up and I start up with the five reps. What I started doing because of the shoulder injury, and I think it was a psychological block, I started at the top position and I would build up to it. So what I really did was after my warm up, I would do 225 pounds, three reps, too easy, right? And it gives me confidence and nothing hurts, right? And that's important when you've been through an injury. Then I went up to 315. 315 felt awesome, no pain, and that's when I actually started to activate my muscles. I went up to 405, and I said, wow, this is real pretty easy, and now my muscles are warm. And then I did my 495, because I found out once I try to go straight up to my 495 number, and I don't know if it's because the standing exercises allow you to, you know, like when you do the standing overhead press, you can do a little bit of that wave momentum. But when your back is against the floor, it seems like your body does need to have that muscle memory of you scaling up different weights till you get to your top rep. That's the only difference I felt. Now with the squat, and also because you burn more energy with the squat, you can only do three reps. And I did 495 in the top, 375 in the middle, and then I did 225 free. That means a full squat, just to get my feeling back for the full deep squat.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and that's how I did. And again, I had worked to 230-pound overhead press, and then when my shoulder hurt, I talked to you, and I did it, and now I'm doing the floor press. And again, I've completely no pain, and my chest feels absolutely awesome.
And here's something you might want to try, too, Eric, with that. Why don't you use the floor press for your warm-up and then say, let's just go with a rep range like this. Let's say we can stay 533 on the floor press, but I would say all right, at 495, let's cut that down to, say, let me think, around 360.
Uh-huh.
I would then probably do the midpoint at around 310 maybe to 300, and I do the bottom – I wouldn't go any more than 200 to 220. And what I would do then is I'd set the rods up wherever you got them set at the top for the press, mm-hmm. the standing press. All I would do is I would – whatever you had done on your last standing press, your maximum, I would cut that in half and just set that up. And all I would do is just one rep and see how it feels. Now, if that feels good, I'd leave it. And the way to bring that back like that is this: keep concentrating on the floor press. You know, maybe, you know, we know that you've hit 495. I would still keep that at, I would keep that at like 85%, and I'd run your percentages down. Now, we know that you can do X amount of weight on all three lifts, but let's cut that down and let's keep practicing one rep on your standing press. But on every workout, I'd add anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds, depending how you feel. I think that will bring that shoulder back quickly because, see, you're not laying a lot of shit on that shoulder. You're doing one rep with a weight that you know you can comfortably do. So if you're splitting that weight in half, I don't remember what you said. Was it over 300, right? 320?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay. So say you're at 160. You start out 160 and you say, well, this is ridiculously easy. I don't feel any pain. You move it. The next week, you go to 165, 170. Move it, no pain. By doing this, you'll be able to recycle that lift, and hopefully at that point, that shoulder straighten out. So now you have the ability to say, all right, well, maybe I don't do a standing press every week. Maybe I do a standing press every other week, and I do the floor press on another. Do you realize at that point, man, you're going to thicken your body up even more like that? And I think if you play hopscotch like that with stuff, I think that you can really even make out better. And then, you know, if you want, maybe one week you just maximize. Because I think at 495, I believe if you go and do that for like a month, flip-flop them back and forth, I'll bet you go and train that bench again for like a week or two heavy. And just, you know, if you're going to do standing, fine, go very light, or you knock it off for 2 weeks. I'd be here to bet you. I bet you'll do at least a 5:10 to 5:15 lockout, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I am going to do that because I actually was thinking about that. But here's something that's kind of like on the sidelines that I think may have played a part as well. You know, I remember like one time you mentioned about Dermacrine, right?
Yep.
First 8 weeks I was using Dermacrine, and then I noticed that when I stopped using the Dermacrine, that's when the lift wasn't getting so easy. And then I've taken the 8 weeks off, so I've got the Dermacrine again, and I'm going to use another 8 weeks just to see, you know, because sometimes when you take these supplements, you know, they are really helping. It's just that you don't feel they're helping. All you're seeing is your progress. But the minute you come off of them and you want that upward spiral, is like, you know, you also have to incorporate recovery. So I got two more pumps of that Dermacrine, and I'm going to do eight more weeks of it. So I'm excited about it. Absolutely.
And you know, something else is real good. Like when Dr. Wong was on, you know, you might want to look into this. I don't know if you're taking it. I'll tell you, his systemic enzymes are incredible. And when you hear him talk about how they go in, it's like a Pac-Man where it goes in and starts eating all that fiber up.
Yeah.
And especially in your blood vessels. This stuff is phenomenal. I mean, he's been a pioneer of this. I'll tell you what, he sent me stuff, Eric, where he's not only doing everything he can to get me right back where I belong, but he's sent two products that really look at it down the road, and it's Kinesence. It's Kinesence and Magscorbate, because he said the way he set these two products up is this. He goes, you want to be thinking 10 or 20 years down the road from now. He says, what we're going to do with you is we're going to fix all your damage and stop any more damage on you. So he's got me on that, and obviously you and I talked off air. And I want people to know this, because this is real important, and Eric and I have talked about this. Dr. Wong is going to, I'm sure, tell us more about testosterone, and obviously Logan Christopher has too. You don't realize when you have an injury, you should have your testosterone as high as you can have it. It's a healing effect. So, you know, all the authorities out there that are telling us that, oh, you get a certain age, you don't want to have – bullshit, man. You want to be a rotten butt buck till they stick your ass in the hole. That's what we come off with here, and I know Eric and everybody else are the same way. Let me ask you this, Eric. Obviously, we know you just said with the testosterone booster you're taking.
What am I currently taking right now?
No, not that. But what do you feel? Do you feel with doing 533? I mean, and we know we've listened to the old timers talk about it. You know, York was the one really that perfected the power rack back in the days of Bill March, et cetera, et cetera. Do you feel a whole different you once you've trained? Now, you've been training a long time. We can tell everybody that. This guy's done lots of stuff, not just in the weight room, outside, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he is a military man, so you know that these guys got to be right on the button all the time. But describe the difference you think between this rack training where you've got to be so mentally wired and so physically strong, or you and I both know, and that's what I like about it. You have no excuses. You either fall on your ass or you make it here, and that's very important. What is your feeling now that you've been into this for a while? How do you feel? Do you feel a whole different physicality in you with this program?
You know, that's a really good question, because if you kind of like look at it like, well, how do you feel after you do different types of workouts, right? And you know how some workouts just kick your ass, and they don't really, it's like sadistic punishment that doesn't really build anything, you know. What I like about 533 is that when you do it right, you will feel a boost in your strength, and you will get a very interesting kind of pump, not the bodybuilder pump, but that deep muscle like activation type thing. And the other thing is that I call it like you have to be really dialed in to keep the bubble. Like, you don't want to lose the bubble of concentration. Yeah. What I mean by that is when you start doing those different layers of squat, when you touch the bar, how you use your hips to absorb the bar and then come out of that dead stop in the bar is key. Yep. And if you miss your window, you're basically not going to make the lift. You know, and that's one of those things that I go, wow, you know, I usually get three, but I lost the bubble on my body placement, and now this thing's not coming up. So I've got two where I usually got three, which means that the level of mental concentration and body awareness that you need to put into each and every single one of these reps is huge. That's why, like you said, it's almost like it says 5-3-3, but in my mind, I do one rep five times. I don't think I'm doing 1-2-3-4-5. I do one perfect rep, and if I have to stop and reset myself, I will do that, because you have to, you know, when you're hoisting these amounts of weight, you know, it's not like you have a 5-pound dumbbell and you're curling it 100 times. And you're like, whatever, you know. This is like a whole body, whole mind, whole 100% effort type, all or none type deal, right? Either the bar goes up or it doesn't. And it takes a lot of body mechanics, I'm going to say even faith in yourself, to get this stuff to work. So if you I mean, because what's the alternative, right? You could do 20 push-ups every day, and there's nothing wrong with doing 20 push-ups every day. But eventually, you could probably do 20 push-ups every day, and you can watch TV, and you can, like, have a conversation, and you're not going to get any progress from it, and it's great movement. Don't get me wrong. But with 533, if you keep improving and you're always at whatever your level's supposed to be, this is going to be some scary shit. And you're going to get knocked down a couple of times. And when you do, you're going to realize that maybe it's not that you weren't strong. Maybe it's that you let your body position get out. And if your body position gets out, then you don't have yet enough strength to get back in position and come up. So the times that you are successful is when absolutely everything, that means your mind, your body, your structure, and your position are dialed in. And that's what allows you to come up and come back down.
And, you know, it really is. If you want to know something that fully engages you, it's a full mind-body engagement. You have to try this to see it. I'm doing a thing right now. I've tweaked my shoulder a little bit, too. Obviously, I said, and I think in the beginning of the show, you know, they had to break 15 trigger points. And, you know, it's setting me back more and more to go away. And it's just the way it is right now. And you've got to be mature enough to be able to keep training, get around it, and go. But I've come to the realization. I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday, my buddy Richie, that we trained for years. And this guy was a phenomenal Olympic lifter. I mean, this guy weighed, I think at the time, maybe 167 pounds. I watched him. I mean, he blew up a 450-pound front squat that would blow your fucking mind. And, I mean, pressed way over 300 pounds. He was unbelievable. He was a small guy, but man, just a monster in stature. And we got into a lot of rack talk yesterday because, you know, he's had a lot of injuries over the years. There are times he couldn't even train, but here he is. He's still doing it. And I was telling him one of the things I was doing and I've been doing, and it works. There's two things. I feel, obviously, I said when you go to lift the Husafell stone, I feel that the pectoral area is essential to have developed, especially the insertion, you know, into the shoulder. Because what you'll find if you go to lift a big stone is at times it'll try to pull you forward. If you don't have good structure there, you could tear a pectoral easily. These things will tear shit. I already know I tore a bicep, all right? I've never had a major injury till then. But that's neither here nor there. But now with this tweak shit, we've got a lot of stuff I've designed and we set up. We have one thing where we run these big 6x6 bars. It's like almost the length of my driveway. They're literally bolted right through the wall of the garage. And obviously, we've got dip bars there. You can chin a little bit on it if you want. You can pull up, et cetera, et cetera. But two of the big things there are we have huge chain all bolted through the wood coming through, and we have these big, they're like toe clips where they screw in. You can put anything on it. It bolts it right into the chain. You couldn't break these in your day. We use one for the H3 to do partials off the ground with it, and the other one we designed was where we come off the chains. My buddy's an electrician, and they have these big electrical cords, all right, and they come down, and they have a hole on each end. So the best way to describe it to you is picture straight down fork in the road, and it's coiled into a circle. Well, I got the idea where, hey, I want to do dead stop presses. Now, this would be like Eric's talking about. It would be a floor press, but with dumbbells. Because I felt the dumbbell would really activate the pectoral area much better and thicken it up. Plus, you know, if you don't have a spotter, obviously you can do them off the rods, but I wanted to be outside, lay on the lawn, push these things up. If I can't do it, let it drop. I can crawl right out from under it. All right, so I'm using that right now for a little rehab, obviously. And then the other thing I'm using is another piece that I designed and we developed where basically we have this big steel mass that goes right across the width of the power rack, and we have these links of rod that are welded on it that fit literally right on the rods that you would push through the power rack and pin. So I can do my presses with a dumbbell at any height, and basically it's opened up in the center where you mount the dumbbell onto it. You put your hand through it. You can brace yourself on the rack depending how close you want to get with it and press. Well, what I've been doing, I've come up with this theory. If you do things correctly, and say you only want to move it 6 inches, I do believe it can not only strengthen anything, but we're talking the shoulder capsule right now. What I've been doing, and this is just right now in theory, I'm going to do it again this afternoon, is I'll put a 2-inch barbell in there, dumbbell, and the reason why I do that is you're not going to get crazy with it because obviously your grip's going to dictate how much you can move, and really, right now, you don't want to be moving a ton of weight. You want to do an average amount of weight that's going to stimulate, no pain, no nothing. Well, what I've done is I've gone out and bought these heavy-duty bungee cords, and you know, the cords obviously have the big hooks on them. Put them in the hole, wind them around, make an X factor across the power rack. So when I go to lift the dumbbell, it's going to push up on the X right in the center, and I can go as far as I want with this thing or not, and I let it down. Well, I'll tell you right now, when Eric was talking about the pump deal, he's right on the money. It's not a bodybuilding pump. You look pumped still, but your muscles look like they could break right out of your skin and attack you. That's how I equate them, man. It's unreal. So I'm trying this, and I know when Eric comes back on, I want to tell Eric about this, and obviously Eric will let you know more about what he's doing with, hopefully if he does what we were talking about with, let's do some floor presses, let's try one rep on top. That's going to be a very interesting thing because when we put this program out, I think by far this is going to be the best power rack program you've ever seen. It might be different in a ways that Eric and I might train things at times or where I just go on the squat, and maybe we do one at all different phases. Maybe Eric and I will just start, okay, we're going to do a program on squatting. We'll put that out after. We'll see what happens. But I feel right now this is some of the finest material you'll find out there, and it's explained clearly. A lot of stuff out there is just not told clearly to me, and it's like you never understand totally how they got from here to there. We're going to do it different. And this isn't an ad for it either. I'm just saying two guys that love what they're doing that are experimenting with different things I think can only get good. What do you think about that thing, Eric, with the dumbbell? What's your take on that?
Oh, I want to do that because I remember you told me something about it, and I did it actually because of lack of equipment with the barbell. So I was doing the single-arm barbell press, and the problem was that as it got heavier – the balance became an issue, but I really like what you did about the bungee cord, so I'm going to try that. Getting in the power rack, and I have some bands, so putting those bands, so I'm doing the single-arm dumbbell press against that resistance. I think that's going to be very, very interesting.
Well, builds the shit out of your anything you touch with it, and the main thing is, you know, I want to get into more ligament and tendon like we did with Dr. Wong, and Dr. Wong has already talked to me about some projects, and a couple of them I want you in on because it's going to answer a lot of that. And also, we're going to do some stuff about the healing with the supplements and all that. And these are all things that obviously you're a big proponent of. And like I said, when we can get, you know, where we are, you know what we're doing right now with all the automation we're doing, that's all got to come first. But it's like, once we release this stuff, I feel that this stuff is going to be phenomenal out there, man. I mean, we're just going to have stuff stacked where, I don't want to see people get hurt. But it is a fact of life. You fuck around with this kind of stuff, you're going to get nicked up. You can get, you know, surgical stuff that needs to be done. But here's the deal. You've been through a lot of this, me too, and right now I'm going through it as yourself. And I've got people now associated with the show where, you know what? All right, so maybe it costs a few dollars to get it, but you're getting content here where you can go out and look at Anthony on his site or whatever you're talking about when they go out to ericgutman.com with all the stuff you've got, and eventually Motivation and Fiorella Barbell Company will have everything too, all right? But the thing is, I want to help people out where they're not, where they don't want to quit lifting or they can't do what they're doing. We want to make it whether they can get in a ball game in a week, 2 weeks, a month, or work around it, and within like 3 months, man, they're back on the dial again. That's my mission right now because I think it's so important. And a lot of times people take and talk about injuries like it's life-ending, and it's not. And it's like and this is going to segue right into a lot of other things we're going to talk about. Eric, before we go into your word is your bond, I want you to elaborate on anything you have here, and then we're gonna skate into something that is real important to both of us, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I'll just finish with this regarding 5-3-3, and I've said it before. I have found that nothing is more motivating than progress. So if you're putting time in the gym and you're seeing the weights go up, it's unmistakable proof that you're getting stronger. So if you try to lift something one day, you say, man, I can't do that today. And you work at where you're at, and then a month later you lifted that thing you couldn't lift a month ago, then it's unmistakably true that you have gotten stronger. And I find that progress, which means training smarter, is one of the most motivating factors for you to keep doing what you're doing. Now, here's what's amazing to me. So, you know, I'm in Honduras, and again, hanging out with Army Special Forces, Army tank guys, you know, all these military dudes who are into working out every single day, sometimes twice a day. Yeah. And they look at me like, dude, like you're strong or whatever. And then I go like, I only work out twice a week. They go, what?
Right.
And I says, well, you know, honestly, if I want my numbers to go up, I got to rest. You know, like they can't, like, how can this be? And usually you have the funny thing, and they're all complaining about the multiple injuries they have and their tendon this and the thing that is like, I say like, you know, I kind of like, because nobody there knows I do fitness products. I try to keep my... My fitness thing is apart from my – in the military, I'm just a lieutenant commander doing my job. Nobody needs to know or nobody cares if I wrote a book or a fitness course, you know. So I'm just there to do my humanitarian assistance work. But, you know, people see you in the gym and they kind of know that you know, right? from what you're – they see you – shit, you know, and I told you I had an Army sergeant says, hey, sir, I want to do a routine to help me get bigger. He says, hey, I know just a thing for you. And I was going to teach him, but then he got pulled away to do something else. So maybe when I return tomorrow, I can find some time to hook him up. But here's the thing. A lot of the times, people need to do less with more intensity rather than more every single day. This whole, like, you got to train once a day or every single day, unless you're like an MMA guy or you're doing like a skill, right? Let's say you're a fencer. Or a martial artist. In that case, yes. But if you're working out every single day and hoping to improve, but you're complaining to me about all these injuries that never go away, dude, maybe training twice a week will be the thing for you. And when you need more conditioning, then you drop less weight and you drop more often because conditioning is a different beast than strength. You know?
Yep.
But, hey, man, I love 5-3-3. I'm going to milk it. I'm going to have to do where I get out of it and do more conditioning where I have like a PRT coming up. But, you know, I'm going to always be cycling into some form of power rack training and something else because I love it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We'll go over it, too, after I'm going to share some stuff about conditioning yourself using a power rack. Wait till I tell you this. I'd like to see – I mean, you do whatever you got to do, but when you get done with, you know, any of your testing or anything like that, I'm going to show you how we're going to meld conditioning with the power rack with 5-3-3, dude. I mean, wait till you see this. It's going to – it'll blow your lights out what we're going to do. And I think that you, with what we're going to do, we might be able to even move you to 3 days a week doing the conditioning phase – in the rack with 5-3-3. So stay tuned. That's all I can tell you.
I look forward to it.
All right. Here's something I know that's going to resonate with you. And we've got about 20 minutes for this because I feel we can really cover some pretty aggressive words here and what we want to convey to everybody. As I told you, Eric, in the beginning before we came on, we're going to talk about your word is your bond. And I think in today's world, that's something that is scarce in a lot of places. And I was I had somebody say to me yesterday, which was amazing, because I feel I'm a very loyal guy to people. With what I do here, I want people who are with me to be loyal to me. I think loyalty to me is one of the most important things in my life, because if you don't have loyalty with your family, your coworkers, or people that are associated with your business, there's no point of us even coexisting together, as they say. But with your word, what do you feel if you, you know, especially you're in a lot of sensitive situations with you do in the military, obviously, but you're also a guy that's out there, you have kids, so you're around different parents and, you know, your son and your daughters and this and that. And it's like, if you had to say something to your son right now, and I'm sure you have, I don't discount that at all. What do you feel when you say when you give your word to somebody? Do you feel it's a bonding thing where, you know, if I tell you, hey, Eric Gutman, I'm going to call you at 9:30 tomorrow morning and I want to say XYZ to you, and then suddenly you don't even hear from me and I pull up short, all right, and I give you some excuse 2 days later. What are you going to think of me as a man towards you?
You know, I think the better question is, what are you going to think of yourself?
Yeah, you're right.
It's very interesting that you say that, because I find that this is something very important. And that, like you said, more and more in society, it's less important. And the reason it's very important to me is, like, you know, I'm a naval officer. And sure, when I went through officer candidate school, right in the urinals, there were all these different phrases from different naval officers. And one that I always read and I really believe was, a naval officer's word is his bond. And, yep, you know, I feel like there's a difference between when a naval officer gives you his word and some regular dude, right? And so because of that, I remember when we were on our deployments, we used to play this little game that, let's say, somebody, one of the leaders of our crew would say, we're going to do this, or he promised to do something. But then when the situation changed, he wanted to back out, right? Yep. Because, you know, giving your word means you do it whether it's convenient or not, right? And right, then he says, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to do this. And then we'd go, oh, but you gave your word. And we would kind of shame him into not going back on his word. And he'd go, fuck, I did. And he would have to do it. And sometimes he would be very inconvenient. But if he had promised his crew something, and again, it's because the situation changes, then he had to do everything in his power to honor that commitment. And I think that is something, like, going back to your question. So, when you honor your word, it makes you stronger. When you dishonor your word, I believe this wholeheartedly, it weakens you at a physical, mental, and spiritual level, because then you cannot trust yourself. So, you know, it's like I thought about this, you know, people that say affirmations and whatnot. Well, you know, if you're a liar and you don't even keep your word, then if you do affirmations, they ain't going to mean shit. Because your body's already learned that you are a liar. And if you're saying that you're whatever this, whatever that, or whatever new agey thing, your body already knows you're full of shit. So, you know, you're only deceiving yourself. But I believe, again, and this is just my personal belief, that if you were to tell the truth all the time, and again, there's places when you have to withhold the truth, right? Let's say you get captured by the enemy and it says, tell me the location of your friends, and you're going to have to, you know, shut the fuck up or be misleading. But other than that, if you were to be a person that only tells the truth, and then after you become that kind of person, you were to start doing affirmations, I believe that then they would have a dramatic effect on your subconscious. Again, that's just me. But, you know, going to back an example with my kids, I told my wife once to never make a threat she wasn't willing to carry out. Because kids perceive this. And I remember this one time we were going out to eat. And I don't know, my wife looked at me because the kids were acting up. You know, I got four children. And I said something like, look, if we have to call your attention one more time, then you guys are you're not going out to eat dessert, and we're going to go get ice cream. And they calmed down. And then, you know, my oldest one felt he just had to bother the youngest one, right? So I said, all right, buddy, you just made the list. Now, in the past, my wife would say this, but now I said it. So I drove back home and I told my oldest one to get off, and I took everybody else to get ice cream. And he had that look in his face like, I can't believe you're doing this. So, you know, we came back from ice cream and everything was great. And, you know, the next weekend when I said, hey, you guys better behave or you're not going to get any dessert, then my oldest one kind of lowered his face and says like, yeah, and he'll do it too. You know, like, it's not just an empty threat. So, back to your original question, you know, if you break your word with somebody else, yeah, they're gonna think you're a dirtbag. But what are you gonna think of yourself? You know, are you going to be stronger or weaker from being a person that keeps your word or not? And I think, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I totally agree with that. But I'll tell you another thing too. I think a lot of people take convenience and like, well, you know, and whether they do it intentionally or not, I don't know. But I figure by the time you've reached 18 years old, and I think younger, I mean, I'd say 10 years old, I think you should know the consequences of when you don't keep your word with somebody. And these things can affect other people, too. It's like, you know, if I have somebody tell me they're going to do this, this, and this, and it's going to be by a certain date, or they're going to get a hold of me today, and, you know, we're going to set something up, especially like the shows at times, you know, it's like, all right, where are you? You know, you tell me you're going to be on, but suddenly you're not on. Or, you know, I'll Facebook you or email you or Skype you. Oh, I forgot stuff. Well, you know what I say to them now? It's like, hey, you know something? I'm running a business here too. And it's like, you want to come on? I want you to come on. I'm doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor. What's the issue here? You know, and it's like, I think now with everything going on, and I'm not making excuses, but I think a lot of people are all over the map, and they just figure like this. You know, I've had people say to me, oh, you're a great guy. You know, you'll let it go. Well, maybe I'll let it go this time, but you won't get a second shot. You know what I mean? Because if you do it to me again, see you around, you know? And I think this all comes around with the people you associate with, too. If you're hanging around with a bunch of people that are wayward everywhere and they'll say anything, because you know, you and I both know, a lot of people say whatever they want to just get a response from you. And it gets you off their back, and they're like, well, you know, I'll worry about whatever the next time, you know. That isn't how things work. And people that care for one another and consider the other person don't pull shit like that. Now, we all make mistakes, you know, myself, everybody does, all right? But I don't remember myself telling anybody that if I told you I was going to be there or I was going to do this for you that I didn't measure up and do it unless there was an emergency, because things do happen. But I've never been a guy like that would make promises that I couldn't keep, and I would never be a guy that said, hey, look, I'll be there for you, that I wouldn't be there for you. And I think that a lot of that, too, is the way we were brought up. You know, my father was military, too. You know, it's a different landscape, I think. You know, even though he worked for the feds too, and my mom was a nurse, and they always believed in structure, and we were brought up with a lot of structure. I mean, and we weren't innocent by any means, but it's like you knew if you stepped out of line, there was something coming your way, one way or another. And I think that all, you know, reverbs back to, like, you know, my father was very strict about stuff like that. It's like, you know, learn if you're going to make, you know, if you're going to give your word to somebody or you say you're going to do something, you got to follow through. Because like Eric said, that will set up a pattern in you where your body's like, I don't have to worry about this. You know, they'll let me go. Or, you know, it's so what? Who gives a fuck what they think? You start living like that and all you are, it's going to be like, it'll be like pissing in the wind. That's what it's going to be for you. And like Eric said, you know, you want to go out and do affirmations. Well, affirmations are great, all right? But here's the thing with affirmations. You got to use a word called action. Because I could go out all day and say wealth, wealth, wealth. Well, maybe that will bring in the people I need. But if someone contacts me and says, hey, Eric, I like your show. I want to work with you. And I don't contact them back. Well, there you go. Because right there, what can kill you is word of mouth. So I think your words, you know, I think your words are so essential to yourself. I think they really paint a, like, I've never met Eric in person, all right? I know what he looks like, blah, 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 blah. But I've spoken with him enough through the months here to know his character. And if he tells me he's coming on, unless there's something wrong, the guy's here, all right? It'd be the same way, I'm sure, if I lived near him. If we went out and he said, we're going to work out this afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm sure he'd be there. Or we'd meet somewhere and drive over together. The point of the matter is that's very essential to, I think, how humans get along, how we end up, you know, like Eric says, I want people that are going to be around for a long time I'm associated with. Well, we can't do that if you and I can't even set up you know, when I say to you, all right, Eric, this, this, and this, and I'm not there. Or he does the same thing to me. So I can't say enough about your word. Your word is your bond with people. And, you know, I always like doing a handshake if I'm with them and look them in the eyes. I think that's very important. Maybe it falls short now in today's society, but that's why we're here, because we're going to teach you what we learned. What do you think?
Dude, I think that, you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
As you were talking, there's three things that came to my mind. And, you know, one of the things about giving your word has a lot about to do with respect. So respect for yourself and respect for others, because I've noticed this. So, you know, the military can be a very punctual society where if you're tardy, it's you know, like really a punishable offense, right?
Yep.
Well, here's what I noticed. If, you know, let's say you have to be there at 7:30 a.m., just to say a time. You know what happens if you call at 7:25 a.m. and you say, hey, man, I'm on the work. There's been an accident. I'm on my way.
Yep.
You're no longer late. It's like amazing. Your body may be physically late, but if you call somebody in the shop and you let them know, hey, look, you left your house just normal as always, but there's this situation and there's this pileup. And I'm on my way. I'm alive. Because one of the things why you have to be at work at a certain time is because they do this thing called muster and accountability. They need to know where everybody is all the time. So if you call, even though technically, physically, your body arrived late, you checked in, which is the requirement. Is the guy alive? Because otherwise they have to send a search party for you. And you're no longer late. You because why? Because you had enough respect for yourself and for the person at the other end to let them know that even though you have an appointment or a stated agreement, you're not going to be able to make it. But here's why, and here's what you're doing to fix it. Same thing with, like, let's say you have an appointment. You know, let's say we make an appointment and then they extend me in Honduras or something. Then I go, hey, before the appointment happens, hey, Eric, look, I may not be able to make whatever appointment because of this, but I can make the appointment this other day, which I think is kind of what happened with us for this particular call. So if you do it ahead of time, the guy doesn't have to wonder, where the hell is this dude, right?
Exactly.
I contact you before so that you can then use the time you had scheduled for me for another activity, and you're not there going like, where the hell is this guy? So it's about respect. The second point that I thought was, you know, Emerson was writing, he wrote a lot of stuff, but there's one thing that basically he says, like, and here's how my modern day application is. Let's say you go to a store that you kind of know the guy, you know, for a long time, and let's say you pay him for something and he gives you $10 extra. You know, he was supposed to give you $2, but he gives you $11, a 1 and a 10. And you kind of notice it, and you shut up and you take it. And he says, did you win or lose? He says, well, according by Emerson, the problem is that while you may have gotten $10, for the rest of your life, every time you look at that guy in the eye, you're going to wonder, shit, did he count the money in the register? And does he know that I have the $10 and I never gave it back to him? So you'll never have peace of mind. And that's how I feel about keeping your word. Every time you give your word out, which I believe you should not give your word out, you know, half-heartedly. When you give your word, it shouldn't be a lot of the time. It should be for important things. Every time you break, it's like that, you know, like that guy who's kind of taking those $10 that didn't belong to him, and now he doesn't know if the other guy knows, and there's that uncomfortable. So you take away your peace of mind. And finally, I was listening to this CD, and I think he said the most brilliant thing about it. It says, you know, when you're growing up, if you don't keep your word, like let's say with your family and your friends, or like let's say with teachers in an elementary school, if you don't deliver your work on time or you don't really keep your word, people might say, well, you know, he's young, or let's give him a chance, or, yeah, you know, I know you're making an effort. He says, the problem is that when you actually go in the business world, when you do that, people say, you know what, I simply just don't want to do business with you. No, but give me a chance. Like, no, you know, you said you're going to deliver by Friday, and it's 2 weeks later. I don't really want to give you my money if you can't keep your word. And when I read that, I go, that's what happens. A lot of people believe in the entitlement. Everybody gets a trophy for showing up mentality. Yep. And then when they go to the workforce, they expect people to treat them the same and go, dude, if people are paying money – Right. You can't really be disrespectful about your commitments to them, and that both means time and what you promise, your word. So when you break that with people, they're not going to really want to do business with you. And if you're self-employed, you're going to be unemployed if you don't keep your word.
Sir.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's perfect because, you know, I think, Eric, too, there's a lot of low expectations in the world. And when you get out into the real world, there are people who expect things from you. If you don't deliver, you're not going to be hanging around long. And you can go and cry about every friggin' injustice you felt in your life. You know what? No one gives a shit. And that's the you know, what you're seeing now is magnified by news. The normal person that's walking around, you better pull your shit together, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and go after whatever it is. And if your word's no good, that goes with it. And, you know, that reminds you of, like, your word. And another word that gets thrown out is love. I've always been a guy that will never tell anybody they love them unless they truly mean it. Because there's too many people out using things like that where whatever they feel, it'll get them to wherever they get. When I say something to my mother, my nieces, my nephew, my girlfriend, and that goes with relationships big times with me. It'll take me a long time to ever say that to any woman I'm ever associated with. And I've had them say to me where it really pisses them off, because usually after a few dates, they'll be, I love you, and I will be like, well, I'm glad, you know, like that. I don't throw words out that are important like that, that have real meaning to me, as in what you say with your bonding too, with anything you do. I will never throw stuff like out there like that, like it means nothing. And I think people need to get a foothold on that and say, hey, when you speak to somebody and whatever it is, you better be damn sure of yourself that you can back it up. And when I say that, you better be very truthful what you say, because as we see now, people seem to take liberties in hurting people, and it's very easy. You know, words hurt more than a slap to the head. I got news for you, because words last forever. Eventually, that slap to the head, you might remember it, but it'll go away. But your words, like you're saying, with affirmations, harsh, unkind things said to you will echo in your brain forever unless you know how to remove them with other positive words. So my thing here with the ending of this show is this. It's like, go out and give your word, but be a real soldier of the vocabulary. And by that I mean, anything you say, make sure you mean. When you march into someone's life or march back out of it, make sure you've been clear with everything you've told that he or she. Because I'll tell you right now, to live a life that, you know, is basically a lie, when you can't give your word correctly or you can't tell somebody something you mean, that's living lying. And that is not something you want to be associated with. Because as Eric said, you get out in the business world, you're an entrepreneur, I got news for you. Those words you say will follow you around just like somebody hunting your ass down. So all I can say is this. Maybe it's not chic in 2015 to say your words, your bond, or be careful who you say I love to, but it is. It means everything. It goes to the center of your being. And if you've discovered anything about yourself, and that's why we push the thing with weightlifting and 533 and rock lifting and all that, get out there and learn your physicality, because I got news for you. Other than going into the military, and probably Eric can attest to this, I don't think there's anything out there that will touch you mentally if you understand weightlifting, if you know how to implement weightlifting and stay with it long enough. And I'm not talking months, a year. I'm talking 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. If you can do that, I'm telling you right now, you will be a stalwart individual for the rest of your life. And the things that everybody else is doing, you don't give a shit and you don't want to be associated with it. Because I'll tell you, the guy talking to you on the mic right now had over 2 years of that bullshit, totally. I got news for you. You wouldn't believe the people that are no longer in my life. And I'm not saying they were bad or good. Most of them were very good people. It's just I don't live that lifestyle. And I don't want that shit dragging me down. And I know it sounds cruel. People say, how can you be like that? I got news for you. Once you've got your teeth into something you love to do, you start separating from the pack more and more. And the only way to do this is experience it. And I tell anybody, lift some weights, lift some rocks, do some body weight if you want, do some 533, do some dead stop of anything. But most of all, get out there and get your feet wet and get your hands dirty, man. And don't be afraid to get a few cuts and bruises. And if you get injured, which we don't want you to, we get you back. You get yourself back. That's what it's all about. And those things are byproducts which teach you how important your word is, how important it is when you say I love you to somebody, how important it is when I need you to help me out, I'm there. Or most of all, when I talk about, you know, I always say at the end of the show, and we'll say it twice today, if someone seeks you out in a gym or someone seeks you out in a concrete jungle, speak to them. As my mother always told us as kids, and I'll never forget it, the person that you talk to that day or even give a kind word to, that might be the only kind word they could have gotten in weeks, months, or years. So don't be afraid to show your strength, and I mean not only bodily but mentally. Eric, what do you think? Did I hit it or not?
You know what's amazing? That I usually take my training journal when we have our talks so I can reference my lifts. And then when you say something, I write things down. And I wrote down to mean what you say and say what you mean, which is something that you actually said verbatim. Yep. I think that's great that that's how connected we are. And I wanted to do close with this. I remember, my son's met Bud Jeffries. He's been to the house. I've taken his son, you know, Noah Jeffries, in here, and that's who actually taught me how to tear a pack of cards. And I told my son, like, look, isn't this interesting? The world's really, really strong people, you will never hear them bragging about how strong they are. What they usually say is stuff like, I'm working on my 700-pound deadlift. I'm working on – you know, they usually will tell you what they're lifting or what they're working on, and it has a number attached to it. But they rarely ever brag and say, I'm strong. I'm so strong. You know, they don't have that. And I go, and look at the people that talk like that, and they're usually not as strong as Bud Jeffries or Noah Jeffries or yourself. You know, so I would be saying, like you said, like, look at Eric Fiorillo. Like, this guy's, like, super strong. And what does he talk about? I really want to lift the 400-pound Husafeld stone. Is he bragging or is he putting other people down? No. He is focused on a goal which requires him to be strong. And I think it was funny because you know, I'm in the Navy, and I'm at this gym. I always remember I was there training with this guy next to me, Navy SEAL. All right, so this dude is probably, like, really, really super fucking fit. And, you know, we were friends. We were training. And this, like, I'm going to know, 120-pound female trainer walks in with two girls, well, two women that she wanted to convince over to become personal training clients. And you know what? She was speaking very eloquently. And, you know, I thought it was very interesting what she was saying. And me and the other guy, you know, okay. And then she went over, and I guess she crossed the line of just bullshitting. And I know she wants to get a customer, and, you know, but she goes to me. And again, like, you know, I don't care about me, bro. I'm just a regular guy. I don't give a shit. You know, Navy SEAL's right next to me. And she goes, 120 pounds soaking wet. She goes, and because I'm safe and I tense my lower back, I can probably out deadlift any guy in this gym. And you know what? I kind of look at the guy next to me, and he kind of looks at me. And the funny thing was that up until that very point, we both thought that what she was saying was very interesting. And we both held her in kind of high esteem. Oh, wow, look, she really knows what she's talking about. But the minute she goes into this bravado, which is obviously a lie, dude, like the Navy powerlifting champion, you know, worked out in that gym. And he helped me out once. And, you know, it's not like I wanted to call her out, but the minute she said that, me and the guy next to me lost all respect for her. Because you know what? If we called her out, it says, all right, let's start packing on weight on these bars and see if that's true. She would either backed out or obviously she couldn't have performed. And I go, that's the thing with your word. You know, when you are talking to people, always say the truth because you don't know who's listening. You know, if she had removed that little comment, you know, she would have had the respect of both myself and the Navy SEAL because she was talking about how to train safely. And I really liked what she said. Again, she sounded smart. But when she starts going like, I can out deadlift any guy in this gym because I tense my lower back, I go, really? Well, that's something I'd have to see for me to believe. And, you know, how many times have I perhaps done that? You know, I'm just thinking about back to the time when you were a teenager and you say all stupid kinds of things. That's why I believe that, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. So, again, going back to your word is your bond. You know, really pay attention to your words and what you're saying, what they say about you and how they make you feel about yourself. Because like you said, a kind word can lift somebody up. But let me ask you this. Whenever you help somebody, what does that do to you?
Absolutely.
You know?
Makes you feel damn good, man. And it affects your life in a positive way. It's like there's too much concentration on what you can't or you know, what you aren't and all this. And it's like, why do you think you see so many people just walking around with their head down all the time, you know? And look, and we've got into this, and we'll finish up, but it's like media is fine. We need it for what we do with business, et cetera, et cetera. It's ways to get to people quickly. But with obesity, and I think for society to not just crumble, you know, we need kids, especially coming up now. We got to get them physical. We got to get them mentally trained and make them better individuals, because there's too many people just like skating through life or, you know, obviously, you know, everybody's not getting this or that. I got news for you, man. I'm working damn hard to produce my future, what I want, what I envisioned, and we're going step by step by step, building each brick, one on top of the other. I'll be damned if I'm going to give my empire away to anybody, man. And that's the thing. It's like when you go in and have visions of what you want, when you build things, you know, through lifting or your business or whatever it is you want to do, your personal life, nobody's got a right to take shit from you unless you want to give it to them. And I've got no problem with helping friends and family and charity and things like that. But I'll be damned if they're going to implement things via government to come in and say, well, Eric, you've made too much money this year, so we're going to take, you know, 45% of your income. I'd be like, no, you're not. And, you know, I mean, there's still places out in the United States you can put your money. You know, who knows? I mean, I think we all pay our fair share. And my word is this. It's like, learn to go out and do something and fend for yourself. If there's going to be people out there, you're going to get plenty of help. But in the end, it's your responsibility and your word, as we just were talking, your word to fulfill. I'll use a word they use a lot, but it works. Fulfill your destiny. What are you given? Your God-given talents. Go out and use them. Produce. Become a better individual. And most of all, become a better man or woman. And that's where I'll leave it today there, boss.
Well, you know, I think we've at this point we've said what we needed to say, and
yep.
I don't think people need any more words because they get it. And if they need any more words, they're not going to get it no matter how much more we speak.
I know. All right. Well, why don't you give all your information? I'll give mine and just hang on the line and we'll talk for a moment.
Absolutely. Just. Well, you know, again, just the brief of it. I am a naval officer and that's what I do full time, but what I really live for is to explore ways to live as long as we can, as best as we can. And again, that involves health, nutrition, fitness, and the ways you use your body. If anything here resonates with you, then you might want to check www.ericgutman.com. That's ericgutman.com. Or you can friend me on Facebook. Again, Eric Gutman. And, you know, again, you don't have to buy anything. There's plenty of free articles and plenty of good stuff. But if you're a physical products person, there's also stuff you can order. You can get in the mail and hold it because I am a physical person. I like to buy books that I read and hold in my hands and order line. I don't know if it's a generation thing, but this whole digital thing, I still don't appreciate as much as something as I can hold in my hand. So we have physical products, but we also got downloadables for the newer generation, which – wants it all in the cloud. And that's about all I got.
Well, I got news for Eric. I was reading an article yesterday. They're telling people they should go more with hardcover, softcover books because now they're finding with everybody getting stuff digitally, it's giving you all those brain interruptions and everything else going around you. You know, so that's not a good thing. You know, so anytime you got a Kindle thing, you are disrupting your mental and your physical. So that's just something to think about. I know everybody likes digital, and it is handy. But I'll tell you what, I've done both. I still like the physical presence of a book. And I'll tell you the main reason is I have quite an extensive library of different books. I might be walking by and see an old title. I yank it out and just maybe I read 10 pages and put it back. That's just something I like it. But This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats, Saugerties Chiropractic Center, Dr. William Wong's Essentials, Atomic Athletic, and MuscleMass.com. www.FiorellaBarbellCo.com, www.MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. If there's a show you'd like Eric and I to do, send that to FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Let's see. You can get us on Facebook, Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, and on Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. And I think that's it. I'm going to be doing some stuff, too. I've got that safety squat bar, and maybe I'll take a few pictures of some of the stuff we talked about today, and I'll put it up on Fiorella Barbell Co. blog in the next few days. Eric, once again, super show. Glad to have you back, my friend.
It was my pleasure, always.
Great. So for Eric Gutman, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. And Eric and I will be talking soon. As you know, he's going away. We will schedule stuff as soon as he's available. So we'll talk to you on Monday and have a great
day. Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.